One-time Cincinnati Post photographer Robert Clark is an acclaimed freelance photographer who often goes on assignment for National Geographic. Last spring, he released his book, Feathers, Displays of Brilliant Plumage, which gives readers a truly unique perspective on the wide range of bird feathers. Robert Clark spoke with Cincinnati Zoo director Thane Maynard about the amazing beauty and function of bird feathers. And Robert Clark's most recent book is Evolution, a Visual Record.
Robert Clark, welcome to the show. Thanks for spending a few minutes with us.
It's my pleasure.
Now, your new book, honestly, is just really something. It's called Feathers, Displays of Brilliant Plumage. You know, and at first glance, Robert, I know you're a photographer and it looks like a picture book, but when you start to read through it, it's like you're also an evolutionary biologist.
Well, I've got a very strong interest in evolutionary biology, and that comes from being given the opportunity to do several stories on the subject for National Geographic.
Well, they're just fantastic photos, and of course, most listeners know that the most colorful animals in the world are birds, and naturally, their feathers, many of them are beautiful, but they also, many of them, have very specific functions. And so tell a bit about that, as well as a bit of how you learned some of those details. They were amazing.
Well, you know, I was very lucky, and this is the sort of the best thing about working for National Geographic, is you get to work with really talented photo editors who do a lot of research. And we were also able to, you know, have interviews and talk to people like Rick Prum at Yale University, who's a expert ornithologist and had actually just won the MacArthur Foundation Genius Award when we were able to talk to him. And he was super informative about feathers and their structure and the complicated nature of feathers. The neatest things I found out is, like, they have different shapes. So feathers have different shape for different purposes, and there's an owl feather that helps them fly silently. Mm-hmm. There's all sorts of adaptations.
Absolutely, and some are very specialized. Some of the ones in your book are just ones that particularly are to show off for a mate, I assume, where they're really, really elaborate, where you've got them from a bird of paradise, for instance. But then some even are specifically to make certain noises. That was amazing to me. You know, I think of crickets making a noise through vibration. But my memory is it was a type of mannequin, you said, that can vibrate its wings at a certain pitch?
Yeah, it can. And it's only audible by certain species, certainly not. Sometimes people can hear it depending on the situations, but it's more of a mating call. Which is, you know, you talked about the colorful birds of paradise. Those feathers are definitely for sexual selection. They're trying to improve their opportunity to mate and to pass on their genetic code. So, you know, and there's 32 different kinds of birds of paradise, and they all have pretty elaborate, specific different kinds of feathers.
Absolutely. You know, there must be a lot of competition in the bird world when you think of the diversity and beauty of all those different patterns, as well as all the different courtship displays. Some even build elaborate nests. It must be hard to get a girlfriend if you're a bird.
You know, there's 32 different species, and they're all completely, they're all visually very different. And one species will clear an area in the forest floor and make kind of a dance floor and, mm-hmm. and do their little mating dance and hope that that the female is impressed.
Well, here's a question I'm sure you get asked a lot from the book is, tell us about the process of your photographing these feathers, because many of them are on their own with a dark background. Were they from a museum? Did you shoot them in a studio? How did you do this?
Well, I intended to shoot everything very, very similarly, because I wanted the visual difference. I wanted the visual difference to be the feathers themselves. So that was kind of the you know, creative approach, if you will. And then, you know, I travel with a lot of equipment, and every place we went, we would set up a studio, and we were able to photograph in zoological museums in Germany and in the United States, in Canada and in England and France. I did 9 countries on this trip. And museums have, you know, specifically museums have very nice feather collections. And, you know, I owe a lot to museums allowing us to get in there and take advantage of their collections.
Well, and certainly with good results. Now, in the book, you really explore very deeply, and you even point out that Feathers go all the way back to the dinosaurs, perhaps. I guess that some people even say that perhaps Tyrannosaurus Rex, the most feared of the dinosaurs, may have in fact had feathers.
I actually photographed a feathered T-Rex in Liaoning province in China, which is where a lot of the feathered birds, fossilized feathered birds, are coming from about 140 million years ago. So it was pretty interesting. We ended up, it was quite a big beast, and it actually was two T-Rexes that had been buried together. So it was about 20 feet long. So we used a scaffolding and a lot of black fabric, and took about 6 or 8 hours to put it together into the sections that it was supposed to be in, and it looked quite amazing. And then the feathers on the T-Rex were only about the size, I don't know, of a frisbee. So it's not like it was this hugely feathered bird or feathered dinosaur throughout, but there's a distinct pattern that is connected to some tissue that's fossilized as well.
Hmm. That's a fascinating concept and a fascinating discovery. Now, in your book, again, I think the thing that you blend really well is the celebration of the beauty and the color. And you talk about how feathers are a work of art, but that they're also a work of engineering. So maybe elaborate a little bit more on that, the importance of these feathers to how birds survive.
Well, I think one of the most beautiful things about the birds, and to me it's a beautiful thing, is that they're so specifically and designed with a certain purpose in mind. You know, there's flight feathers and secondary flight feathers, and then they all take on these different shapes and functions. And you know, there's quill feathers that warm the birds, and those are beautiful in their own way when they're looked at through a macro lens. And when you start looking at the curvature on the tips of the feathers, it's just a beautiful thing to really get in and examine the intricacies and the complicated nature of how that these things are produced, you know, or not produced, but how they're adapted to the environment that they live in.
And Robert, certainly today you are renowned for photographing for National Geographic and your publications, but you didn't get your start there. My memory is you got your start here 30 years ago at the Cincinnati Post.
Yeah, I did work at the Post for a while, and it was a great experience. I was there from, I guess, the Bengals Super Bowl to the Reds World Series, with a little bit of Robert Mapplethorpe protest thrown in between. So I had a great time in Cincinnati, and I lived in Northern Kentucky and then in the city. And it was a great newspaper to work for. I had a very good time working at the Post.
Well, clearly your timing was just right, both for those celebrations as well as it was still a heyday of newspapers. And that, of course, has changed. The Post is gone. But National Geographic certainly lives on, the magazine itself, as well as their other publications and all their other electronic media. So you're certainly in the right place for a great photographer. But speaking of the right place, my memory is you've taken some photos at the Cincinnati Zoo as well.
Yeah, one of my favorite, is it actually the only time I've ever been back to Cincinnati since I moved. I came back and was doing a story about Alfred Russel Wallace, who was probably the greatest field biologist. And he actually wrote Darwin a letter and said, "Hey, I have this idea about natural selection." And, you know, it caused an alarm in Darwin. So when the paper was published, Origin of Species, it was also Alfred Russel Wallace's name on it.
Mm-hmm.
But the magazine, the Geographic, had done a story about Alfred Russel Wallace. We were working on it, and there was a, I think he was the one who described Sumatran rhinos. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we looked around and found that Emmy, the Sumatran rhino at the zoo, was, I think Emmy was the only one to breed in captivity twice. And I know that you would know these facts.
Sure.
But we were able to come here. We were able to come to the zoo and light up the pen of Emmy, and the holding pen. And she came in, and it made really one of my favorite photos I've ever shot. So I was really happy to have shot that in Cincinnati and to have it be you know, two pages in the middle of one of my favorite stories that I've done for the magazine.
Well, that was a great story and certainly a great photo. As you know, they're one of the most endangered animals on Earth. Emmy's gone, but two of her three offspring we have flown off to live in the protected areas on the southern part of the island of Sumatra. So our zoo is still hopeful that that species has a future.
You know, I sure hope so, too, because I think they're just beautiful. You know, they need a lot of habitat to survive. So I think that that's, you know, besides people hunting them or mm-hmm. trying to make trophy animals out of them, and then needing an enormous amount of area to survive, you know, the habitat is a real issue when you talk about endangered species, the shrinking habitat.
Absolutely. Well, Robert Clark, thanks for spending a few minutes with us. Your new book really is terrific, and I hope it sells well.
Well, I appreciate it, and thanks for taking the time. It's great to talk to somebody in Cincinnati again.
You bet. Come back to the zoo. We've got some other great animals. You can photograph them.
That'd be great. I hope this isn't the end of my evolutionary biology books.
Exactly. All right. Thanks very much. My guest has been Robert Clark, wildlife photographer and author of the new book, Feathers, Displays of Brilliant Plumage.